Some of you guys know me, some of you don't. One of the giftings that the Lord gave me is discerning of spirits. And if you've known me for a long time, you've kind of seen how I am. And you're always wondering, what's that really all about? Well, I'm going to expose everything tonight. The Lord gave me a teaching, a download. I tried to alter it, and He would not let me touch it. And how it came about was a few months ago, I had a dream. And in the dream, I was supposed to be a guest speaker somewhere. And when I got up to speak, somebody else stood up and started speaking. And they were prophesying. And the people in the meeting were eating up the words, but they weren't from God. And I was like, I just sat there in my chair, and I was like, Lord, what's going on? I was trying to, you know, figure it out. And then He told me to get up and deal with it. So I got up, and I started in the dream. I was saying the blood of Jesus. And as soon as I said that, this person manifested into a snake. And now this is a dream, and it's a parable. And it tried to bite my hand. And so it latched onto my hand, and I'm like, you know, battling after it in my dream, and I shook it off. But when I woke up, I was like, Lord, what's this dream about? And so I was sitting in my chair. Whenever I have a dream, I like to pray and ask the Lord, because oftentimes it's not what we think. Amen. It's a parable. And so I didn't know really what it was about. And so I was sitting in the chair, and He started talking to me about discerning of spirits and stuff. And so I'm praying, and I'm writing the notes from Him. And I had no idea that it was going to be a teaching. I thought it was just something He was sharing with me. And then as I kept going, I realized, I mean, it was pages of notes. And as I kept going, I realized, oh, I'm going to teach on this someday. And I put it away, and, you know, time got away from me, I think I even remember saying, hey, I'm going to teach on this. You know, God gave me this download. I'm going to teach someday. And, well, that someday didn't come. And then I was away on a sabbatical, just hanging out with the Lord and resting. And He said, I want you to teach on discerning the spirits, that download I gave you. And so I looked at the calendar. We set a date. And so tonight, this teaching is a result of that dream. And so... I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to start from my notes, but I don't know how long I'll stay with my notes. So, obviously we know, or we should know that, you know, in 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 12, it talks about spiritual gifts.
Lori, before we start, I just feel like we should take a minute to silence our cell phones, because you're recording this.
Yeah.
I think I need to check my phone.
Okay. Thank you, Kim. So could you please check your phones and silence your cell phones, please? Okay. You all set? You all silenced? You guys done talking? You're busted. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 12. I'm going to read that as our starting point. And this is, I think, from New Living Translation. Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in an unknown language, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. And then it ends with, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. So I like this translation because it talks about, well, it kind of breaks it down pretty simple regarding the different gifts. And the gift we're going to talk about is discerning of spirits. I'm going to give you a definition. This I did pull from the internet. The spiritual gift of discernment is also known as the gift of discernment or spirits, or distinguishing between spirits. Now, when we're talking about distinguishing between spirits, we're talking either the Spirit of God or the Antichrist, the enemy. So there's only two spirits. It falls into two camps, God's camp or the enemy's camp. And and so the gift of discerning of spirits, it helps people in leadership understand what's going on in the body of Christ. Now, I'm totally getting off my notes because I feel like we're supposed to go here. The church, you know, there's a pastor, there's elders, there's, you know, congregation, and churches that are really moving in God, the enemy cannot stand that, and he has agents working for him to come in and cause harm or chaos. And so the gift of discerning of spirits, often a person who has that gift has the ability to discern whether it's the Spirit of God or the Antichrist, spirit, an enemy spirit, or is it emotions or flesh. And so many pastors don't operate in this gift. They have a shepherd's heart. Their gifting is to love on people and bring people into the flock, into Jesus. And so oftentimes they don't have discerning of spirits. I want to talk a little bit about seeing in the Spirit. When I talk about seeing in the Spirit, people seem, they either are like, what does that mean? Or, you know, you're crazy. And I just want to, like, demystify what seeing is really all about. Many people see, and I believe that everybody has the ability to see in the unseen realm. And I'm going to back it up with some scriptures. 2 Kings 6, 14 through 7. I'm going to read this. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Alas, my lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elijah prayed, O Lord, open his eyes so he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So we see in that scripture that a servant was able to have his eyes opened through the prayer, but the Lord is the one who opened his eyes. It wasn't the servant. The servant spoke the word, and God opened the man's eyes. And he was able to see into the realm of God, that there were more angels than there were forces in the natural that were going to take out the enemy. And Elisha was a prophet, and how that came about was he was hearing the mysteries in the bad king's bedroom, so to speak, and telling the army the plans, the battle plans. And so that's why the bad king went after him. And so, you know, God's always one step ahead if we're in tune with what God's doing. And so also Ephesians 6, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. This talks about really what the battle is all about and where the battle is. Oftentimes we think it's a person, but it's not. There's usually an entity behind a person operating and causing harm. And, I'm not going to pre-preach. And then here's another one. When they stoned Stephen, he saw Jesus. Remember, right before he got stoned, he saw Jesus. And it says, but Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. So there's biblical examples of people seeing in the spirit realm, the unseen realm. which is more real than this room we're sitting in right now. Here's another one, John 5. Jesus gave this answer. Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. And then John 14:12. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I go to the Father. So, if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we have the gifts of God, and we don't know which giftings we have. When we first get saved, oftentimes we don't know what our giftings are, and that's why it's important to listen and follow. You know, there's like this unction that will be inside of us of, you know, like if your gift is helps or service, you're going to be the one who sees the need to prepare a meal for somebody who just moved in the neighborhood, or you know, or if it's prophecy, you're going to get a word from God and you're going to release it in a due season. Your giftings will flow in proper order and proper time, and oftentimes you may have more than one gifting. You know, there's as you grow in God, these giftings open in you, and so. I don't want us to be afraid of the giftings, but I also don't want us to work our giftings out of our flesh. There's a way to do this, and I'm going to try and explain it as we go on. So I want to talk about how to develop the gift. And every gift is from the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and He determines who gets what. You know, but there's a but. Paul talks about Ephesians and how he prayed for Ephesians 1, 16 through 17. I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. And then also he's praying, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. And then again, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long, how high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So, the gifts come from the Holy Spirit, but I believe we can pray and press in. As we press into Jesus, the giftings open in us. As the more we yield to him, the more he has that he can work with. But there are some dominant giftings. You know how some people are just right-handed or left-handed? There are some dominant giftings that we will operate out of that are easily, you know, that just they're just there. So what is our need? Our need is to have our eyes spiritually opened. Oftentimes I meet people who love the Lord, but their eyes are dark. They have no understanding, and so they don't perceive how good His Word is. You know, His Word is packed with power, packed with truth, packed with revelation. But, you know, I see people who will accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, but don't want anything to do with the giftings, don't want the Holy Spirit. They don't understand it. And if without the Holy Spirit, I find it very difficult to get the revelation from His Word. An example of that would be my sister. You know, she was, you know, she's saved, and she had trouble reading the Word of God. You know, she just couldn't retain, couldn't understand. And she went through a crisis and a trial, and I went over, and I said, you need to start standing on these scriptures. And she's like, I don't get it, I don't understand it. I said, are you filled with the Holy Ghost? She goes, no. And I said, well, let's take care of that. And so she, you know, asked the Holy Spirit to come into her heart and abide in her and live in her, and she yielded to him. And then the Word of God just opened up, and she was like, I get it, I understand now, I get the revelation. So it's kind of like a two-pack punch, you know, and I see oftentimes people limping because they don't have the full package. And the full measure is, you know, it's the Trinity. It's God, the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. We need all three of them in our life. And they're asking for us to be relational with all three of them. So, so what is our need? To have our eyes open spiritually. They are open when we are saved, but there is a continual need to ask the Lord to give us further spiritual sight and revelation. See, oftentimes some people, they get saved and they're like, okay, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, that's it. But there's so much more to the spirit realm. You know, his goodness, his riches, his treasures, his love, his presence is in the spirit realm. You know, our body may feel a glimpse of it, but when we flip our the spiritual switch, there's an overwhelming sense of his presence because we're connected spirit to spirit instead of flesh to spirit. And so one of the best ways I found to develop this gifting is to meditate on his word. These three sets of scriptures, I used these. I prayed these scriptures many days, and I put my name in there, and I would pray these scriptures because I needed to know his understanding. I needed to understand revelation, knowledge. I needed to know what the word was saying, and so I applied these almost like food. You know, I ate them like food, and I ate them and then meditated on them. I'd think about them throughout the day until it became a part of me. And see, scriptures, they're meant to be part of us. They're meant to, we're supposed to wear them, you know, put them on and wear them and live in them. And as we do, we grow into the scripture. The scripture becomes alive in us. And that is where the real power comes from. And so, how to develop the gifting in you. Learn to lean on the Holy Spirit. You know, when Rick Pino was, one of the songs, you know, he was talking about leaning on his beloved. You know, there's a place in God where you can lean and be one in the Spirit. And I struggled with that for so many years because I was so used to being in the flesh. And I did not understand this issue called trusting the Lord with all my heart. You know, it didn't just come to me. I had to take those scriptures and learn them. I had to speak them. I had to live them. I had to breathe them. And then the enemy would come and with a challenge, or a family would come with a, and it would, I'd have to make a choice. Am I going to believe what God's word said? Or, and I'm going to lean into God's promises, or am I going to react out of my flesh? And it was like, you know, 10% I'd do it, then it grew to 20% where I would not act out of my flesh, and then 30%, and then backslide again, you know, some big trial would come up. It didn't happen overnight, but I showed up, and I recognized every day there's an opportunity to learn, to lean not on my own understanding, in all my ways acknowledge him. And that, I ate that. And when I always looked at my life as like an airplane, and I would just nosedive and crash. And then I'd be like, I blew it. But I never condemned myself. I'd say, okay, Lord, what are we doing now? You know, and he would say to me, where were you before this happened? And I'd be like, oh yeah, I was pressing into, you know, leaning not on my own understanding and trusting you, and practicing resting and listening to what you have to say. And so, you know, the enemy knows that we're pressing in, and his job is to cause distractions and crisis. And we have to learn to train our flesh not to respond. And I remember when I was first learning how to listen to the voice of God, the Holy Spirit, you know, and praying in tongues. I would, you know, pray in tongues. That's what I was taught to do. And then, you know, God would start to speak through the Holy Spirit. I'd start to hear something, and then it would be like, oh, he's telling me something. And then there would be the phone went off, or the baby would cry, or the siren would go off, and I'd be like, where am I? What was I doing? It takes practice. And oftentimes, I see people give up too soon. Breakthrough is always on the other side. It's so close. If we just continue to show up, God will always help us push in to his presence. Amen? So, one of my biggest issues was trusting the Lord. Holly did a teaching many years ago. I think it was called Trust. And I was being, you know, pressed on all sides. And tried and going through the fire because I said, Lord, you know, your ways are, I want whatever you have. Do whatever you want with my life. I want to serve you all the days of my life. I want to live to glorify you. And whatever that means, I don't know, but I'm choosing you. And so he took my words, and there was a fire, and it still happens. And so stuff bubbled up. And when it bubbled up was when I had to deal with the issue of not trusting God. You know, I that was probably one of my biggest obstacles that I had to overcome was trusting him. When he would give me a word to speak to somebody, I'd be like, I ain't saying that. You know, I was shy, and I just didn't trust him. And then when I wouldn't do it, and I was disobedient, the enemy would come like a flood. And you call yourself a Christian? Oh, look at you now. You know, you can't even do once. You know the sound of the enemy. And I would feel so bad from being beat up by the enemy. That's what actually caused me to overcome, because I couldn't stand the oppression from not obeying God. And so slowly I stepped like a little baby, you know, with my daddy's fingers holding on and trusting when he would give me a word and I would speak it. And it would be like, wow, you know, they'd break out crying or whatever. It was life-changing words. And then I would look at the scheme behind it, that my mind is drawn to the attack of the enemy, like, wow, all that for that? You know, and so I learned to recognize the schemes of the enemy and recognize the voice of the enemy, so that when that still small voice spoke, because he was quiet. You know, the still small voice, Holy Spirit is quiet. He leads and guides, and he's very gentle, although I've seen him be very loud and abrupt too. But when he was training me, just like a dad, you know, they don't yell and shout. The enemy, you know, the neighbor next door is the yeller and the shouter. You know, it's the guy out of covenant that is trying to block us. And so, you know, the Holy Spirit is called Spirit of Truth. You know, I had to practice what that meant. I had to look at that. I had to understand, oh, truth, Spirit of Truth. I get it. He's always going to lead me into truth. He's not the bad guy. And see, the enemy always tries to point the finger and change the situation or to skew it so that we think God's bad. I had to come to the understanding that God's always good all the time. And I know that deep in my knower. I know that without a doubt, no matter what situation happens in my life, I don't care what will happen. I know God's good all the time, and he's going to make it okay for me, whatever it is. Now, my okay is never his okay. His ways are so much higher. So I don't know what he's going to do, but I always know it always glorifies his kingdom, and he always takes care of me because he owns me. And so I try to get back onto the gift. So the gift is a gift. It's freely given. I believe discerning the spirits was put in me at conception. I didn't get it after I was saved, and I'm going to tell you why, because I had stuff happening to me since I was a little kid. I saw signs and wonders in the sky when I was young. You know, I would see stuff, and I didn't understand. I thought, I didn't know. It's kind of like if you're right-handed or left-handed, you just are. You know, and you don't think about it. You eat with your right hand, you never think, oh, I don't eat with my left hand. That's how it is with me with discerning of spirits and seeing in the spirit realm. I've always had this, so I didn't know that everybody else didn't have it. You know, does that make sense to you? So, and it was when I was sitting with the Lord asking him questions as I was going through this, I actually learned some things about my gifting because I was looking at it from his perspective in a different way, and I'm going to share that too. So I think the gift is protected when I was born and many people when they're born with, you know, with the gifting, I think it's protected like a seed for such a time as this, you know, kind of like salvation. You know, I believe that when we are saved, we enter relationship with Jesus Christ. And when we are born again, I believe the gifting opens into like an eternal gifting, like it's been protected in us, but as after we say the sinner's prayer and born again, it like opens, and I'll show you what I mean by that. I think it's hidden deep within us, and I also believe that the enemy will try to abort the true purpose of the seed or the gifting, and try to change the DNA or the life structure of the seed before we say yes to Jesus. And what I mean by that is I mean through like New Age or witchcraft or, you know, various occult practices. You know, we're all created with a purpose and a position in the kingdom of God. And because we all come from Adam and have been redeemed by the second Adam. So we all have this like deep desire in us to know God. It's in our DNA. And so along the way... The two kingdoms are colliding. When we're not yet saved, they're colliding. You know, we've got the seed in us. We've got the desire to know Jesus, but we don't know what that is because we don't know yet. Our eyes aren't open, and the two natures are like colliding because they're at war. And you know, the Father of Truth versus the Father of Lies. And God is always gently wooing us, and the father of lies is always condemning. And we get the choice of who we're going to serve. You know, when God set this system up, he gave us free will. And so when the gifting or the seed is in us, you know, he's cheering us on, choose life, choose life. But he won't say, choose life, you know, and crank us into it. But the enemy will actually try to capture us, and he uses deception. You know, love paid the price for us. You know, Jesus paid the price. And truth offers freedom from bondage. And the father of lies, he's continually trying to put us in bondage. You know, they're opposites, complete opposites. Bondage always has a payment due. There's always a pressure with bondage. And freedom, he is and was our final payment. There's always liberty and love with Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about how I saw when I was younger. When I was a little kid, I could tell. I just knew if a person was good or bad, if they had good or evil intent. I would just know. And I don't know how I knew, just like I didn't know I was right-handed. It was in me. And I was always shy. And I think it was because I was sensitive to the spirit realm. I just, you know, but I didn't know that's what it was called. And I always had a sense that I needed protection, you know, when I was little. It was just something that was put in me. And, you know, I don't know why, but I just was always like I would try to stay away from the bad people, you know. And I didn't do it. In the end, I ended up in the enemy's camp. But I tried to, like, be hidden, like, behind my parents or, you know, I wouldn't go play with certain people that were doing bad stuff. There was like, that protection. I just knew I had to be self-protected. And I self-taught or learned how to put boundaries up when I was very young. Now, as I grew, the enemy kept trying and trying and trying. And as I got older, I opened many doors to the enemy. And when I was sitting with the Lord talking about this, as I go through this, I want you to think upon this, because we're going to say a prayer after I get done with this little section. So as I got older, I opened the door to the enemy, including magic games. And he actually had me write this word, Bloody Mary. I had to look it up. I didn't know what it was. But that actually it's a cult practice. Ghost in the graveyard, the Ouija board, alcohol, drugs, rebellion, fortune telling. You know, fortune tellers. There's a huge hook in the spirit with fortune tellers. Horror movies, New Age, some TV shows, some movies, some rock music. I did not willingly know I was doing anything wrong. You know, the protection that I was born with, it became calloused, and I no longer knew that it was wrong to go to a fortune teller. You know, the door had opened somehow. Was it from the very first game of you know, magic games or the Bloody Mary thing or whatever? Was that, you know, when the door first opened, is that when there was a callous, you know, on my heart where I no longer knew it was not right to do? I don't know. But I can tell you that it left. And I didn't know that these things weren't good to do. It's like there was a barrier I passed through and I didn't know it was wrong. The whole design of the enemy plan is to slowly take over your life and giftings and to be used so that you'd be used for a pawn for his kingdom. That's his plan. And it all leads to captivity. And so I was in bondage and I was captive. And so oftentimes when we're born again and you know, we fall in love with Jesus, there's still baggage from stuff that happened to us or stuff we did when we were younger. And oftentimes just a simple prayer of repentance and unhooking in the spirit brings freedom and closes the door to the enemy. And so, you know, when I was saying some of this, you know, you might have thought, oh yeah, I remember doing that when I was a kid. Or maybe you have another one that the Holy Spirit, in fact, Holy Spirit, right now I ask you to prompt in our hearts any open door to the enemy that we willingly or unwillingly knew when we were younger. I'm asking you to put a spotlight right now on a past event or a past series of events. And we're gonna say a prayer of repentance and close the door. We're gonna shut the door on the enemy. So I want you to say this out loud, because our words are legal. You know, we have license with our words, and it either brings life or death. And so we're going to choose life, and we're going to just speak this prayer. And there's a spot in here where you can just say what you want, whatever the Lord, you know, whatever it is, okay? And I'm not listening, and nobody else is. This is just between you and the Lord, okay? So, Father, I am so sorry. I willingly or unwillingly open the door to the enemy. I repent, which means turning away from these things. Now, dot, 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 put your things in there. And then we'll go on. I close the door in my heart and life to the powers of darkness. I command and unhook in the spirit from these forces and ask you to show me truth and your ways in your kingdom. Use me as a vessel for your good pleasure. Do with me as you will. I surrender to you. Amen. In Jesus' name. So some of you might have felt like a, and that would just be the enemy, you know, a little cloud of darkness leaving. And so, you know, when my gifting opened or started to grow, when I started, I got filled with the Holy Ghost, and it, you know, it really took off then. So, but what happened was, I remember sitting in a meeting that was one of Edgar and Holly Bailey's meetings many years ago in Crystal Lake on Walk Up Drive, and I started to have, you know, in the presence, you know, worship is wonderful, and you know, darkness or devils or imps or spiritual forces of the enemy, they can't stand the presence of God, and they sometimes they'll start to do something if they're on us or around us or possibly in us, and you know, they'll take off. And in this case, I was worshiping, and I started to have like I started to have like an asthma attack, you know, and I had asthma back then. I got healed if it got healed me, but I started to, my lungs started to, I'm doing this and I can't breathe and I'm feeling oppressed, and I'm like, what is going on? And I was with a good friend of mine, and I'm like, something's wrong, and I'm like very shy, don't want anybody to draw attention to me. And I remember thinking, I'm going to pass out, and they're going to have to call an ambulance because I can't breathe. And so I got up and I went to go to the bathroom, to the restroom, and I went into the stall, and I felt this, you know, I was very uncomfortable, very agitated, and I felt this like thing come up out of me, and I actually saw it. And what it looked like was this dark mist. I was like, I forget the polite word. Regurgitate. Thank you. I've been trained, but I still regurgitated. I had to regurgitate. So this thing, you know, came out. And when it did, I saw it. You know, I leaned over the commode, and as I did, this thing came out, and it like touched the toilet seat and took off. And it was this gray, like the size about this big, you know, size of a softball, and it was like foggy, you know. It didn't have a body substance, but it was misty, foggy. And I remember looking at that thing and going, "What was that?" And it freaked me out, to be honest with you. And I had seen in the spirit before, but I never saw one come out of me. So I was like, "Oh my gosh, I think I just regurgitated a demon." So I go back into the meeting room, and my friend is like, you're looking at me, and I'm like, I'm not wheezing anymore. And she's like, "Wow, what happened?" I said, "I just regurgitated a demon." And she just looked at me. See, we were taught Christians can't have demons. You know, so, whoa. So, you know, that's a lie from the enemy, because he doesn't want us to get free and he doesn't want us to have deliverance. And now, when we talk about deliverance, I'm not saying that you need to regurgitate, you know, for deliverance. Oftentimes, it's just renouncing an agreement with the enemy. Amen. Closing the door. So, that was an experience that, you know, when I got home that night, you can bet the next day when I was sitting with the Lord, I was like, what was that? And he told me it was a spirit of backsliding. And I was like, spirit of backsliding? And I'll tell you the background on that. My life, I was self-employed for many, well, since I was like 25. And I would work, and then I would be like, oh, I'm so depressed, I can't work. And, you know, it was a cycle. And same thing, I used to struggle with alcohol. And I'd stay sober for all these years, and then, I'd drink and I would relapse. When that spirit left me, I never had another problem with alcohol and like a desire to drink, and I never had a problem showing up for work after that. The spirit of backsliding, it changed the whole course of my life. And I believe that thing was in me for many, 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 many years. And I don't know which door I opened to cause that thing to live with me, but my life changed after that. I no longer spent days in bed, depressed, and I was able to work and hallelujah. So anyway, that was one of the times that I saw in the Spirit, and after being saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. So I want to talk about guarding the gift. I'm very sensitive to the realms of glory, and I'm also very sensitive to the enemy's demonic camps. And so there's certain things I have set in my life. There's certain do's and don'ts I have in my life, and I'm just going to share with them what has helped me. And this is through asking the Holy Spirit. You know, like I'd do something, I'd say, what happened? And he would say, you know, don't do that. Or, you know what, if you go there, that causes problems. And so I don't like battles. And because I see in the Spirit, sometimes the enemy... they try to push, you know, and it's turfy stuff, and I'm not into turf. I'm not into the natural, and I'm not into it in the spirit realm. And that's a whole other thing I'm going to talk a little bit about. But I've learned respect in the Spirit of God. And for one thing, we have authority everywhere we go to trample over every spirit of darkness, any snake, any demonic, any witch, any warlock, any of that. The blood of Jesus is more powerful. The word of God is more powerful than any junk that an enemy is going to try to send. So we have to learn not to be afraid of the devil, okay? Greater is he that lives in us. You know, greater are we that live in him than in the world. We are seated in heavenly places. So, but anyway, back to guarding the gift. When I walk past a creepy place, you know, like there's creepy places. You go in the city... You know, a lot of the smoke shops are creepy. You know, certain video stores, certain resale shops, certain touristy places, you know, those New Age oily places, yogi places, there's certain spiritual medicine places. I'm not going to go across the street to go around, but I always, the blood of Jesus. I make sure I'm covered in the blood of Jesus. It's like a hedge, like a raincoat of his blood of protection. And not that I'm afraid, it's more of back out, back away, here I come. And I don't challenge spirits, I don't need to. I'm not into that, but I certainly won't. They have to bow the knee to Jesus Christ. I remember one time I was at my son was in motocross, and I was sitting on the bleachers, and a witch came, and she sat kind of close to me, and there was this little turfy thing going, and I thought, the blood of Jesus, Jesus Christ is Lord, you're going to go, not me. You know, and she was trying to intimidate me, and I thought, huh, you know, and she left, you know. But they'll push. And, you know, so I know another time, you know, people don't like to talk about witchcraft, but it's very popular right now. People are hungry for the presence, but they don't know it. They think they're hungry for power, but it's the presence of Jesus Christ they're hungry for. That's the DNA. But they get tricked into the power. And so, you know, I remember one time, a few years back, the Lord's like, I want you to go. I was ahead of my motorcycle, and he's like, go for a ride. I go for this ride, and I end up at this church, and I'm in the church, and afterwards I leave, and I just say casually to one of my friends, I'm like, why do you guys have a witch working in the daycare? And they're like, she's a witch? We wondered about her. You know, see, God will send you, if you have this gifting, he sends you to places where they're asking for truth, where there's chaos, and they're like, Lord, we need help. Show us the way. And so oftentimes he'll use somebody who has the gift of discerning the spirits to say, hey, you got a witch working in your daycare center, and this is what you need to do. You know, and so it's not bad, but I'm telling you, and don't get like paranoid, like, you know, there's a witch next door to me. You know, they're really powerless compared to what Jesus has. You know, the shield of Jesus is it'll defeat anything. But it takes showing up, and it takes praying it through. And so, like I said, I'm going to switch back. You know, one of my favorite scriptures is, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Every tongue that rises up against me, I hear, do I condemn. So I'm sanctified by Jesus Christ. I'm heritage, you know, set apart. So I don't watch a lot of movies. I have to be careful what I watch. Because I'm very sensitive, I don't need a battle later on. I remember when I went to go visit my folks, my dad was watching this weird movie about monkeys, and somehow a spirit transferred on, you know, and followed me. And I battled that thing for a couple days, and finally I had to get back up prayer and you know, have that thing help, you know, take it out. Also, I don't go where the Lord tells me not to go. Sometimes people will say, oh, we're having trouble in our church, will you come? And I don't go, oh, yeah, I go, let me pray. And I pray, and the Lord will say yes or no, and that's what I obey. Because I've been in trouble, you know, some of my friends were in churches, and the churches were having problems, and I would go just because, and then I'd find myself, you know, I'd be up against stuff I didn't need to take on. And what I mean by that is, not every battle is yours to fight. And I'm just going to say it. Some people like their devils. Some people like playing with them. And, you know, even with, you know, when people come up for prayer of deliverance, you know, I don't pray a prayer of deliverance over somebody unless I ask the Holy Ghost. You may say to me, oh, please pray for me. You know, I'm battling with the spirit. And but your spouse is right next to you, and they're the one who's saying, you need prayer, you need prayer. But if you don't want prayer, it's only going to cause you problems.
Amen.
You know, you're only going to have more problems when you leave. So I just, Lord, what do you say? Oh, bless them. I bless them, and that's it, and move on. I don't take on stuff if it's not my assignment, because there a lot of times it requires time and dedication and really listening to the Holy Ghost. And there's a lot going on, and I'm not going to waste it on a situation that is someone casually playing. So I'm also very careful what I look at on the internet, and I'm careful. You know, I had somebody, there's this witch that was challenging me and causing problems but trying to be my friend, and she sent me this link to, she's like, I want you to watch this. It had to do with the counterfeit, the enemy doing signs and wonders. And she was like, how can that be? And she wanted me to, you know, there was a spirit in there, and I'm like, I'm not watching that. I said, please do not send me anything else ever. And, you know, she took offense, and I guarded my eyes, and I didn't have to battle something. I didn't have to worry about that thing coming on me because I used discernment and said, I guard my eyes. I don't watch what the enemy's doing. I don't need to. God is glorious, and I'd rather spend time in his realms than watch what the enemy's trying to do. You know, or not try to do. So I guess what I'm trying to say is grow in relationship with the Holy Spirit. Above all, grow in relationship with the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of truth, and he will lead you and train you and teach you on how to walk in your giftings. He's got me. I can't believe he put this down on here. With this gift, you know, people that are not pure-hearted, they try to steal it. You know, they try to go after the glory, and because they see in the realm too. You know, the enemy sees, and you know, there's some people who want the power of you know, who was that who tried to buy it?
Yeah, and
they're like, you know, was that Peter? It was Paul?
He was It was in Acts.
Yeah, it was
like
in Acts. Simon the sorcerer. Yeah, yeah. You know, he was trying to buy it. You know, and I still see that today, and it's kind of creepy. And what I mean by that, people who see but don't have pure hearts, they want the power of God. And I'll give you a couple examples of what I'm talking about. I remember one time we were at a service in Waukegan, and I was just barely operating in this gift. And I didn't even really know Holly and Edgar that well. I was going to their services, and this guy showed up who was a witch, and he was trying to suck the glory from Holly. And I'm watching this in the spirit. And I had like a holy anger. It was like, I was like, you know, I'm very laid back, and when that comes up, I know it's the Holy Ghost. And I was like, that's just wrong. That's sickening. And so I said, Lord, what shall I do? And he said, stand up. So I stood in front of this guy and blocked what he was trying to suck out of Holly. And it was the funniest thing. And I could feel the darts coming at my back and the hatred. But there was nothing he could do because I was getting blasted by the glory. So, and he was like on the outer court. He couldn't even get it. And he was mad, you know, and it was so funny. And, you know, so that's just an example of people trying to steal the glory. Another time I was praying, I was laying hands on Edgar. It was actually Edgar. And we were at a prayer meeting in the house, and it was a small group of people, and we were praying. And somebody there, I'm praying, and the flow is just going. And all of a sudden, I feel like a cold rod on my leg. And I kicked my leg. I was laying down and praying over Edgar's feet. And I, you know, it was kind of like an irritation, and I just kicked my leg, and a little bit, it kept coming. It was like this person was trying to tap into the glory that was being released. And it was like an irritation, and Edgar was in the spirit, and he caught it, and he said, stop that, you know. And the person stopped it, you know, but it was like, you don't have to steal the glory, it's free. Come boldly to the throne of grace. And so, you know, I've also seen it in prayer lines, you know, you know, they try to suck the anointing of God, and it's actually creepy, and it's kind of cannibalistic. You know, it's just, it's wrong. And sometimes they don't know, and sometimes they do. And
there's people that do that don't know they're doing
it? I think they don't know at first. There's a callus on their heart, and they don't know. You know, they're just after, and they don't know that it's... Some do know. You know, some do know. And then there's also people who are, you know, they want deliverance, but they fake it, and they're just really trying to suck your time, and so really be led by the Holy Spirit. I remember I was in a meeting, and this person started manifesting, and she would always come and manifest, and so I was like, Lord, what's going on? And I took her out, and I'm sitting down face to face with her, and I'm trying to get to the root of her issue, and she starts this big old long story. And the Lord says to me, she's lying. And he said it just like that. And I was like shocked. And I'm like, okay, this is just a distraction to get me out of the meeting. And I'm done with this. And so I cut it and went back in. And, you know, always ask the Holy Ghost. Another time we were in a meeting, and it was down in town Kenosha. And, you know, the possessed person was, you know, on the floor saying bad words, and, you know, and I was like, Lord, and he's like, no, wait. See, if you wait for the right time, there's never a problem. But if you go out in your flesh has no power and no authority.
Amen.
And so when you're dealing with people that are manifesting demons, you know, you can, if you're not in the spirit, they could probably throw you or push you. But if you're in the Holy Ghost, the power and authority that manifests out of you is greater than any demon. And they have to bow to it. And then the Lord finally said, remove her. And so I just took her and brought her outside and said a few words to her. And she left. You know, and unfortunately, other people were like, oh, she dropped her lighter. No, you're dealing with the demon. Move on. You're not here for deliverance. You're here to cause a scene and to stop what God's doing. And it's not going to work. So discerning the spirits knows that. Now, you may think, oh, you're harsh. No, I'm really gentle. It's the Holy Ghost in me that rises up. And so the enemy will try to stop you from using your gift. because it does great damage to his kingdom. And so I really guard. I guard. I constantly have a guard up of where I'm going, hotels. You know, if it's too creepy, I'm not staying. You know, I'll go to the next one. I do, but I don't want to be sleeping and have to battle when the spirits, you know, I do blood of Jesus over the room, but it's in the atmosphere. It's, you know.
I can feel it when you drive through town.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I just, some places I don't want to battle. I want to sleep, you know. I just want a good night's sleep. I've been on the road, you know. I'll pray in the car, but when I'm sleeping, I want to sleep. And see, the enemy used to use that against me. I was such a hard sleeper. I would get these attacks, you know, I'd have these forces try to, you know, and I was like, Lord, give me a strategy. And he would. So then the next time I was ready, you know, and I didn't have to go, you know, and now I don't even have trouble because I watch what, you know, it's like a fine meal. I don't just throw it all together. Every ingredient is prepared. You know, I just don't do certain things. And it stops a lot of the stuff at the door. You know, I live a holy life consecrated to him. I strive to do that. Now, am I perfect? No. But there's, you know, will I catch an article that, I wish I wouldn't have read? Yeah. But I don't purposely go, I'm going to see what this creepy thing is. I don't do any of that. I can't. You know, it's, why would I want to? You know, I don't want to ever be deceived again. And see, when you open the door, just a crack, a peep, you know, then you got to battle to close it. You know,